Joshua 14, we'll start reading in verse number 6, if you'd like to stand once again in reverence to the Scriptures. I'm glad we have a Bible that we can respect and that we can reverence, amen, that we can honor. It's hard to honor it, though, if you never read it. It's hard to honor it if you don't obey it. It's hard to honor the Word of God if you don't know the God of the Bible, the author of the Bible, personally. Amen. Chapter 14, verse number 6, and we'll read down through verse number 15. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. In fact, there's no negative thing said in the Bible about Caleb. Everything that's said is great. But there's some of the things that said about Caleb that are very defining of him. And that statement, closing verse 7, is very defining. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. What's in your heart this morning? That's the control center of you. What's in your heart? And it's easy to surface what's in your heart by your desires. It's easy to surface what's in your heart, as this verse shows. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. What do you talk about? What is your desires? What do you talk about? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It'd be good if we had Christ in us so to the point that every time or a lot of times that we open our mouth that he would just come out. Something about him would come out. Something about his word. Something about his will. Something about his work. Amen. Of grace in your life. And so he brought word again as it was in his heart. See, he went into Canaan, but Canaan also went into him. The other 10 spies went into Canaan, but Canaan never got into them. And verse number 8, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's remain standing for prayer, and then you can be seated. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace and mercy. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help us this morning without fresh oil, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, without liberty. Lord, it will be impossible to do what you want done in this pulpit this morning. I pray, dear Father, that you will speak to me, make it clear. I can't say it if I don't think it. I can't say it if I don't feel it. I can't say it if I don't see it. So I pray that you'll open my spiritual eyes to what you want said. Help me to be in tune with you this morning. Cleanse me, I pray, of every sin. Lord, every shortcoming, every fault and failure that would hinder or grieve the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Lord, we have a golden opportunity to be in your house today. And Lord, any time that we're in your house, we have a great opportunity, Lord, not only to worship you, but to hear from you and have our spiritual life challenged and encouraged and strengthened. We pray, dear Lord, that we focus our attention again to this renowned Bible character by the name of Caleb. Lord, may our hearts be challenged. Lord, may we be strengthened. May we be stirred up to realize that, Lord, we also can wholly follow you as well. And again, have your way this morning. And we know that if you have your way, everything will be decent in order. Everything will be accomplished, Lord, that you desire. Save sinners this morning. Lord, I pray you'll encourage the people of God. Help us together. Those that would be watching by live stream, we'd ask God that you would minister to them and whatever their needs are. If any of them doesn't know you as their personal Savior, may this be the moment, may this be the day that the sweet Holy Ghost puts them under conviction and draws them to yourself, and that we could get a report, Lord, that they have been born again. Lord, we'd rejoice with them as well. Have your way now. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Most of you know that when you think of a man, Caleb, you think about this Bible character. Most of the time, the very thing that will surface in your mind, come up in your memory as what would identify Caleb to you is what the Bible says most about him. If it only said it once, it would be enough. If it said that Caleb wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly followed the Lord. If it just said that once, that would have been sufficient. But in our chapter text that we read this morning, no less than three times that it was stated from three different sources that Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. And you know, sometimes we look at Bible characters, Old Testament or New Testament, and sometimes we think that they were on a level that is impossible for us. That they had a connection with God that you and I just have no chance of. And so if you think of it and you read the Bible with that in mind, you're going to lose a lot. You're going to lose a lot of what God wanted to speak to you about. And we know that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And we need to understand this morning that that is God's will for every believer. That's not something that was just exclusive to Caleb. No more than walking with God was exclusive to Enoch. Amen. I mean, God wants us to do a work. We read about Noah building an ark. We may not be called to build an ark, but we are called likewise to do a work for the Lord. It wasn't God that built the ark. Amen. It wasn't angels that built the ark. But rather, God has always made it his business throughout the Old and New Testament to use people for his glory, for his purpose. He uses individuals even. Noah was just one person. Amen. Caleb was just one person. And you are just one person. And you think, well, I can't do anything for the Lord. Well, by yourself you can't. But with God you can. And you can make a difference. You say, preach, I don't have the abilities that's necessary. I don't have the qualities that's necessary to do something for the Lord. Well, I think the Lord knows what you are and what you're not and what you can and cannot do. So if he asks you to do something, he already has checked you out, and he already knows that what you can do through him, and he will enable you and equip you to do what you could not do in yourself. So as we look at Caleb together one more time, as we did last Sunday night, and now we're back in there again to look at him again, and hopefully he will rise to a place that you and I would want to pattern our life after him, in that he wholly followed the Lord his God. And so last Sunday night, we started pointing out some things that that statement represents, that statement that he wholly followed the Lord, what it means and what it says. If you wanted to make mention of the other two times, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 36, and this is God speaking. God said, "Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. To him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." The other time that it's used is in Numbers chapter 14. "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully," that comes from the same Hebrew word as holy, "he followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And so with that multiple times, five times about Caleb wholly following the Lord, may it be our desire and our aspiration to have that said of us. And I remind you, the first one that said it about, made the statement, was Caleb himself. I remind you of that in verse number 8 of our text chapter. This was Caleb talking, and he said, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So the first one to make the statement was Caleb. And he did not make that statement in arrogance. He did not make that statement in pride, but rather he made that statement as a statement of contrast. He said, "My brethren brought back the evil report. My brethren caused the heart of the people to melt." But he said, "I want to tell you, here's where I stand. But I wholly followed the Lord." He was letting us know right there, my heart didn't melt. I heard their negative report. I heard their report of the walled cities and giants, but it didn't cause my heart to melt. Amen. And why? What was the reason? What was the prevention of it? Because I wholly followed the Lord my God. It's hard to be discouraged when that's happening. It's hard to be defeated when that's happening. Amen. It's hard to be distracted when that is taking place. So anyway, last Sunday night we pointed out some of these, and then we have some more to deal with this morning. Last Sunday night we talked about the first thing, and it's very simple, but it is the first thing, is that Caleb wholly following the Lord, number one, it was chosen. You'll never do anything that you don't desire and choose to do. Caleb was not forced, made to do this. It was not something that happened by sovereignty. Caleb chose it. Where you are spiritually is a matter of choice. The level you're on is a matter of choice. Amen. And it's not my, listen, it's not my choice for you that's going to elevate you spiritually and cause you to advance spiritually. And vice versa, yours for mine won't. Your own personal choice, your own personal desires, it's what's represented in your walk with God. The second thing, and I'm just going to mention this one and kind of move on, because I want to get to the last one if I can, if the Lord will help me. The second one, and this very simple, but you'd have to kindly look at the whole life of Caleb and what's said about him. But the second thing that came to mind was that it was challenged. Don't think if you're going to wholly follow the Lord that it's going to be easy. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be all kinds of things that's going to come in your life, even though you're wholly following the Lord. I hope that none of us have this mentality that if I'm wholly following the Lord, if I'm right with God, then everything will be smooth and easy and there'll be no negative problems. We don't believe that. And I'll tell you why we don't believe that, because the Bible doesn't present that. The health and wealth gospel that is being proclaimed in the airways on television, that if you're right with God, you'll be wealthy and healthy. You'll never get sick and everybody will like you and everything will be, the devil will have a nervous breakdown every time you get around him. He'll be afraid of you and all that kind of thing. I wish that was the truth, don't you? I wish that was the truth, but it's just not the truth. There's nobody ever lived better and cleaner and more right than Jesus Christ. And probably nobody ever suffered more than him. Everywhere he went, he was hated. He was despised. He was rejected of men. Amen. Everybody was always trying to get him and catch him and lie on him and fabricate a story to try to get him in trouble. Amen. But you know what? He set his face like a flint. He never flinched. He never wavered. He never detoured. He never got discouraged. He never got defeated. He refused to let the crowd control him. He refused to let the critics control him. He was there doing God's will. He stayed focused on that. And therefore, he finished exactly what God called him to do. And so I'm telling you, it's going to be challenged if you walk with God, if you follow the Lord fully. And you can, and we can. And if we're going to accomplish the will of God, that's a must. It's doubtful that you're going to accomplish the will of God and the work of God that He purposes for you to do if you're not following God, if you're not wholly following God. So I just wanted to mention that. I mean, there's several things that we could point out that did challenge his walking with God, but we'll cover that in a little bit. A third thing, then we mentioned this, I think, last Sunday night, and that was it was continuous. When it said he wholly followed the Lord, that never was interrupted. He never had a break. He never had no downtime. He never had disconnects from that was the dominant thing in Caleb's life, that he wholly followed the Lord. And I want to just insert something here. It came on my mind just now real strong. That if you're lost, and when you get saved, it is God's will for you to serve Him. God never has saved anybody, anywhere, anytime, just for the purpose of you not going to hell. I've met people, I'm not going to hell. I got saved and I'm not going to hell, but they're not doing one thing for the Lord. They never pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's your purpose for my life? Lord, I'm no longer my own. I belong to you now. What is your will? What is your purpose? What is your plan? And I want to say this plainly and clearly. You'll never be happy. You'll never have joy and peace and contentment in your life until you are in the will of God and doing the will of God as a believer. And wherever the will of God is, listen, wherever the will of God is, there will be joy there. Because joy doesn't come from a geographical location. Joy doesn't come from an address or a mailbox number. Joy comes from serving the God of heaven where God wants you to be. Amen, that's right. And so listen, that's some good help right there if you'll get a hold of it. But it was continuous. Well, we're suffering today from in and out, on and off Christianity. You know, shout one day, pout the next. Faithful one day, fall in the next. And sinners are seeing that. Lost people are lost, but they're not stupid. They're not blind. They watch the church up and down like a roller coaster, you know. Amen. And they see that. Who did I see in here a while ago or earlier this morning that had a yo-yo? Who was that? Brother, little Robert, where you at? Oh, he's back there. He had a yo-yo. And I seen him, you know, he'd throw that thing down, you know, and then here he'd come back. I said, that's just about like me. That's about like me. I'm down more than I am up. And listen. And usually you have to get rewound frequently. Usually you have to get rewound frequently. But it was continuous. And may God help us to see that it's His will in our life to have that element of steadfastness, that element of continuation in our walk with God. And then, of course, we pointed this one out last Sunday. We're just going to mention it, move on. It was conspicuous. Everybody knew it. Everybody saw it about Caleb. I pointed out just a moment ago in chapter 14, verse 8, Caleb said that about himself, that he wholly followed the Lord. Chapter 14 in verse 9, Moses said that about Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord. Chapter 14 of Joshua, verse 13 and 14, Joshua says that about Caleb, that he wholly follows the Lord. Then when you go to Deuteronomy 1 and verse 36, that's God speaking, and He says that he hath followed me fully. Wow. He had a testimony, didn't he? He had a testimony. How come that Moses and Joshua said that about him? Because they watched him. His walk with God was conspicuous. It was very noticeable. It was very obvious. And boy, we need a revival of visible Christianity. Amen. Everybody here, including me, we should have a desire to not be invisible. We should not have a desire to be an invisible, secret, silent Christian that nobody knows anything about. God wants your faith to be demonstrated in your life. Your life, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you act, all of those things should be a living testimony to the Savior that you know and that you're no longer a sinner, that you have been born again. So it was conspicuous. And this is worth repeating, this right here is. I did a study on it and I brought it out last Sunday night. The whole tribe of Judah noticed. Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. And when they were picking out a spy, Russ Scott, from each tribe, there was 12 spies went over, one from each tribe. Well, Caleb was the one that was picked for the tribe of Judah. And you go into Numbers, chapter number 1 in verse 26 and 27, and you will discover that there were 74,600 men that was above 20 years old that was able to go forth to war. That's a lot of men. That's a lot of men. And Caleb was chosen out of all of the whole tribe of Judah to represent them as one of the spies. Now, I don't know about you, but that speaks volumes about what they thought of him. Amen. And he didn't wait. He didn't wait till there was a need before he started trying to get serious about his spiritual life. I want you to get that. Amen. I'm working on a message now on that statement that reoccurs many times, 20 years old and up. 20 years old and up. Everybody from 20 years old and up died. I want to tell you, there was a time that Caleb was below that age. From 20 years old and up was the men that went to war, they went into a different level of recognition, of maturity at 20 years old. And evidently Caleb had already had a young life that was respectable and a young life that showed fruit of God in his life. Amen. And the tribe of Judah watched him. And he had their eye because as soon as the question came up, we need one man to represent the tribe of Judah, there was no evidence whatsoever that there was debate, discussion, or a vote. There was probably nobody else even to consider. Oh, Caleb, he's the only one. Caleb, we can trust him. Caleb will be honest. Caleb's right. Caleb's walking with God. Amen. Your people ought to be able to have confidence in you tonight or this morning because they've watched your life. So it was conspicuous. And then also, let me mention this. Well, God give this to me. It was a contrast. It was a contrast. And I already mentioned that, chapter 14 and verse 8. And Moses said, or Caleb said, after identifying his brethren and their discouraging report, and the effects it had on the people. He said, but I wholly followed the Lord. He said, I wasn't in that crowd. He said, I wasn't in that crowd on the giving end or the receiving end. He said, I wasn't in that crowd. He let it be known, I'm in contract, but I wholly follow the Lord. If you follow the Lord, and it's God's will for every believer, if you've been saved 5 minutes or 85 or 90 years or more, it's God's will for you to wholly follow the Lord. It's not God's will that you follow the Lord. It's God's will that you wholly follow the Lord. Amen? And so there's a contrast. And listen, we need a revival of that. I don't see much of that. In fact, as I travel and I'm aware of a lot of churches and stuff, even ours, I'm seeing a decline in that. Instead of people trying to be different for the Lord and because of the Lord, they're more interested in wanting to blend in with the world. They're more interested in wanting to fit in, amen, with the world. But I want to tell you, God wants us to be a contrast. Now listen to this. Now Caleb said that he himself acclaimed contrast, but I wholly followed the Lord. Well, when you come to Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, God makes this statement. God sovereignly announces that he is a contrast. Listen to this. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. Do you notice what God said about him? How many notice what God said about him? God said he had another spirit with him. God said he stands out. God says he's not like the rest. God says he's different on the outside because he's different on the inside. When you talk about spirit, you're talking about the inside. Amen? Brother Ben had another spirit in him. Had another spirit within him. Amen? It was a spirit of faith. It was a spirit of devotion. It was a spirit of commitment. When all the rest of the crowd was saying, we can't do it, Caleb never wavered and he said, oh, we can do it. Thank God. It'd be good if we'd listen to our faith instead of our feelings. It'd be good if we could listen to our faith that lays hold on God's word. Caleb was so confident because God said what God said. It wasn't what Caleb saw. When they came back with the negative report and said there's walled cities and giants and all that over, you know what? They were telling the truth. They were given facts. They were given facts. Caleb never debated that. Caleb never said, now wait just a minute. No. He said, and basically what he told them was that this was the truth. There is walled cities. And yes, there is giants over there. But look at this cluster of grapes that we've got hanging on a pole right here. Amen. He might have had milk and honey dripping off his chin. I don't know. Who knows? It's hard for me to believe that he went over there to where milk and honey was flowing and he didn't scoop up some of it. I don't believe he just come back, Brother Randy, and said, I seen it. I believe he said, I believe he could have said, if he did, I tasted it. And there's nothing like it. But there's a contrast. And I mentioned this and I'll go on. Number six, there it was complete. There was a completion about this statement. And he wholly followed the Lord his God. You remember the definition of that word? How many remembers the definition of that word? I hope you maybe was making some notes. The word simply means to be filled with or full of. He wholly followed the Lord, meaning he was filled with following the Lord. Now, if something's filled, that means there's no room for anything else. Amen. We're not talking about a sideline spirituality. We're not talking about, listen, a spirituality that you can go visit and leave. No, we're talking about 24/7. We're talking about every day, all day. This descriptive term identified Caleb's devotion, that he wholly followed the Lord completely. And I made this statement last Sunday, and it's worth repeating this morning. And that is Caleb knew about his spiritual life that God had all of him. Now, I won't know that about you. And you won't know that about me. But I'll tell you, you will know that about yourself. You do know if there's any reservations in you. You do know if God has all of you, if He has part of you. The Lord gave me this little statement, may have been yesterday. Listen, sinners, lost people, do not have God in any part of their life. Right? Because they don't know God. Sinners do not have God in any part of their life. And it might be because they've seen saved people that only have God as a part of their life. Sinners doesn't have God in any part because a lot of times they only witness believers who only allow God to have pieces and little parts and fragments of their life. That's done more damage probably. There's probably more people in hell this very minute because of unsurrendered, unsubmitted believers than the work of all the demons of hell combined. God forgive us. Our churches, listen, I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about everywhere. Everywhere, just about it. It's a circus, one preacher called it. It's a mess. And I believe the root cause of it is we're wanting all of the eternity that God has for us, but we don't want God to have all of us now. Partially living for the Lord. Sporadically living for the Lord. I believe the word complete is a big term. Holy, completely full of, full with, filled with, serving and following the Lord. Number seven, not only is it complete, but number seven, it was contenting. Two words that are found in that definition that I waited to give you till now, of that word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, means to fulfill, and the next word is to satisfy. If we could get a hold of that, I've preached it, we've all heard it preached, we all know it, we know it well, but very few of us do it. The definition of the word holy is to fulfill or to satisfy. Caleb was contented. Caleb had a peace in him. Amen. Caleb was satisfied. The whole time that murmuring crowd come through the wilderness, they kept referring back to Egypt. Would to God we was in Egypt. And wanting the leeks, onions, garlics, and melons of Egypt. Wanting that diet of Egypt. Well, you never hear Caleb saying that. You never hear Caleb whining about the manna. You never hear Caleb involved in that crowd. You know why? He was satisfied. And here's why, Brother Jonathan. Caleb's satisfaction didn't come from the wilderness. Caleb's satisfaction didn't come from the surroundings. Caleb's satisfaction come from his spiritual life, and it is described five times that he wholly followed the Lord. See, we want contentment. There's not a person in here, said preach, I don't want to be satisfied. I don't want to be contented. There's not a person in here. In fact, you won't find anybody out there that's lost or saved in the world that would tell you, I don't want to be satisfied. I believe behind the alcoholic, it was a drive to want to be satisfied. Behind the drug addictions, I believe there's a drive to want to be satisfied. Many times behind busted up homes and marriages is a desire to be satisfied. But I want to tell you, friend, that satisfaction does not come from people. Satisfaction comes from God and your relationship to Him. Thank God Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He was satisfied. It didn't matter if he was coming through the wilderness, if he was at the dead end of the Red Sea, if he was at the dry hole of Marah, if he was hearing the murmuring, it never got on the inside of him because he was contented. Amen. Amen. There's been a lot of people get out of God's will because they're searching for contentment. I want to tell you right now, buddy, if you start looking for contentment, listen, you can look for contentment even in good things. But if it's not spiritual, That's where your contentment comes from, is your spiritual life. Amen. Boy, God help us with that. I don't know if we can get a hold of that, Brother Fultz. That Canaan journey, that wilderness journey. Dry, desolate. It was beyond our description, our comprehension. But you never find Caleb down. You never find him murmuring. You never find Caleb, with the poochie lip. You never find him envious of Egypt. You never find him whining around. Never. Why? He was satisfied in his heart and contented in his heart because of his walk. He was wholly following the Lord. How could you not be satisfied in the Lord's presence? Wasn't that what David said? Psalms 23, we quoted that verse. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. And what did he say then? I shall not want. I shall not want. In other words, I'm satisfied. Just the fact that he's my shepherd. All my needs are met in him. The closer I am to him, the better it is. Amen. We're wanting him to shepherd us from a distance, and he don't do that. But anyway, I got to move on. I'm not going to get done. I'm going to see that. But that's all right. As long as we get the message, that'll be good. It was contenting. Number eight, it was controlling. The statement lets us see into the arrangement of this thing. The Bible says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Now listen, anytime there's a following, that means somebody's leading, right? So if Caleb's doing the following, and the Bible said he wholly followed the Lord, he wholly followed God, then who's doing the leading? God is. Caleb has gotten, he's got himself in the right position. He submitted himself to God. He's allowed God to make the choices. He's allowed God to give the direction. He's allowed God to call the shots. And I'm going to tell you, as simple and as truthful as we know that is, most people today do not have that in their life. I'm not going to follow somebody that I don't trust. I'm not going to follow somebody that I don't want their choices for me. How could God lead us wrong? How could God lead us wrong? Look what he's already done to save us. Look at the sacrifice involved. He gave heaven's best. Fact, worse, bigger than that. He gave himself. He gave himself. Heaven's best could have been in the angelic category, but he didn't send an angel. He didn't send a cherubim, a seraphim. He came himself. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh to come and save sinful men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. But I'm telling you, it was controlling. Caleb was testifying all those five times it was said of him. It was a testimony that God was leading and he was following. Can we honestly say, along with that song that's in, I believe it's in our hymnal, we've all heard it anyway, where he leads, I'll follow. Where he leads, can we say that this morning? Is there a hesitancy, a reservation in our heart to say that this morning? There are people that are afraid to surrender the Lord because they're afraid of where he might lead them and what he might ask them to do or what he might ask them to quit doing. And they won't open themselves up. You know what's behind that? You don't trust him. You don't trust him, amen. You know what else is behind that? What you're wanting, you know in your heart is not what God wants. And you're wanting what you want more. But joy and peace and happiness will come in your life when you say, Lord, whatever, whenever, wherever, however. Amen. It was controlling. Number nine. Number nine, it was complimenting. Boy, this got big to me. Three different times. And I'm not going to, well, I am going to read it. Because nothing I can say better than what God said. I want to show you this. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, listen to this word. I want everybody to hear it because I'm going to emphasize it. But my servant Caleb, because. Everybody say because. Say it again. But my servant Caleb, because He had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land. I'm going to go back through that backwards. God says, I'm going to bring him into the land because he followed me fully. He followed me fully because he had another spirit in him. Because is a word that means consequence. Because means reward, results, compensation. God is saying because, not because I chose it as a sovereign God, but because Caleb had another spirit with him and because he followed me fully, him will I bring into the land and his seed. Don't lose sight of that word because. I think we've lost that word. Not in our English language, but the meaning of it spiritually. God says, what I'm going to do for... Listen, here's the summary. God said, because Caleb was this and this, had another spirit and followed me fully, because Caleb did this, then I am going to do this. I'm going to give him the land. I'm going to bring him and his seed into the land. Do you have a because for God to respond to? Are you giving God a because? Can God say, because I've seen this, because this is in your heart, because you've surrendered, because this, then I am going to move and I am going to respond. Goodness. Listen to this. Here it is again. Deuteronomy 1:36. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children... because he hath wholly followed the Lord. There's going to be consequences if you follow the Lord, and they will be complimenting to your life. But can I say this to you? Oh, Lord, help us. There will be consequences if you don't, but they won't be complimenting. They won't be complimenting. The seed of Caleb, the family of Caleb, the seed of Caleb, they were enjoying Hebron. They were enjoying that mountain that Caleb conquered. You know what? Probably what they said long after Caleb had died. Boy, I'm glad I had a godly heritage. I'm thankful that I had a grandpa, Caleb, that was willing to go with God and follow him fully. And as a result, that compliment and that blessing and that consequence has filtered down and blessed his seed even. Amen. Parents, we ought to make choices as Caleb did to wholly follow the Lord if we want God to put his consequences on our children and on our seed. It was complimenting. That's right. Wholly following the Lord is complimenting. Joshua 14, verse 9 and also verse 14. And Moses swore on that day, listen, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Here it is. I got it circled. I went through and circled them. Because every time I read that, I want it to jump out at me that there's a because. Am I giving God a cause? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. In verse number 14, another Hebron was given to Caleb. Here's why. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Amen. Are we cause driven this morning? Is there a spiritual cause in our life? Usually if there's not a cause in our life, this is a good way to say it. If there's not a cause, David said, is there not a cause? When he was going to confront Goliath, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Amen? If we don't give God a cause and operate with that in our heart, that there's a cause for me to serve God, there's a cause for me to commit my life to the Lord, then there'll never be the term because. There'll never be a because if we don't live by the cause. God says, I'm going to do this for you because. Does that not show God to be a God of response? Let me ask you, do you think God would have given Caleb and his seed Hebron if Caleb had not have wholly followed the Lord? I want you to respond to that. I mean, that's just common sense. Caleb would have not had the outcome he had if he would have been like most of us. If he'd have been like me, I'll just use myself. If he's like me, up and down, in and out, on and off half the time. But Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And God took note of that. God took record of that. And God says, I'm going to work in, not only in you, and I'm going to bless your family, I'm going to work in your children. Amen. The greatest need of our day, listen now, I believe if we meditated on it, it would become more confirmed. The greatest need of our day, especially when you figure the future of the church and the future of our country, is for Caleb-like parents that would wholly follow the Lord. What it would be good, listen, you know what would be good for me and us as parents to do? Look in our life and see where we're not wholly following the Lord and focus our attention on that to correct it. Because God's going to focus His attention on our seed. Amen. I know there's examples in the Bible. There's a very few of them, but there's some examples in the Bible where kids had ungodly parents, either both of them or one of them, but yet they went on and served God. They did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Some of them were kings, and it said that like the boy would go, take over, and he'd say he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and not as his father so and so has done. Just because you have a daddy that maybe is not where he needs to be, or a mother, it's not where she needs to be spiritually, young people, you're still not without excuse. You are still expected to live for the Lord that you belong to. Amen? But one of the greatest things is to see the statement, contrary to what I just said, there'll be statements where it says that they ruled or whatever, and it tells their age, and it said they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord as their daddy or father so-and-so had done. Your children's going to learn more by watching and seeing and by example than they are anything. And if we don't influence them, I promise you they will get influenced. Amen. The world will influence them. The devil will. Amen. Amen. I tell you what I'm going to do. I wanted to get on this one. This is really where I wanted to get. I will mention it in case you're not able to come back tonight, but listen, it was conquering. That's number 10. It was conquering. He wholly followed the Lord his God. Look what happened. Look at the victory that he enjoyed and experienced because of that. I believe that if we are not wholly following the Lord, I believe it's going to conquer us. Instead of allowing us to conquer and allow us to have victory, and I'm going to get, if the Lord will help me not to, or if He gives me direction, I'm going to deal with that point tonight and get involved in it and look at some of the things that the Lord enabled him to conquer, that enabled him to have victory over. And you know what I found, Brother Fultz? Many of those things are the very same things that defeats us. Some of the very same things that gets us off track is that right there. But Caleb conquered and had victory in every one of those areas. And by the grace of God, we're going to look at that tonight if the Lord will help us. I wanted to get to it this morning, but I just never did get there. Amen. So let's all stand to our feet. Miss Debbie, if you'll come, play it. A song of invitation. If the Lord's dealt with you and spoke to your heart about where you are with Him concerning wholly following the Lord, wholly following the Lord, and you want to come and just do business with the Lord about it, feel free to do that. Amen. Feel free to do that. Do business with Him while He's doing business with you. Wholly following, not partially. Not pieces and fragments, not leftovers, not little here and a little there, but wholly, W-H-O-L-Y, wholly, completely following the Lord. And if that's the case, there's nothing left over. God has all of you. That right there would bring revival to you as a person, to your family, to your church, and it would spread if we would wholly follow the Lord. Can we say this morning, folks are praying, can we say this morning, Lord, is there anything in my life that you want out? Is there anything in my life that you're displeased with, that dishonors you, that displeases you? Lord, I want to deal with that. You're not responsible about the actions and reactions of other people. Any given person can do any given thing at any given time. We all have potential of faltering and failing and messing up and everything, but we're not responsible for the actions of other people. And that was one of the things that Caleb had victory over in his life, when he saw everybody going in left field and going wrong and going astray. Caleb stayed true and focused because he realized, to a man's own master, he'll rise and fall.